praise the Lord. Lord, we praise you. We glorify you, Lord. You're the living God. We worship before you. We bow before you. We prostrate ourselves before you for what you've done and this grace which we have received. Bless this word. Bless our services. Bless this home. Lord, you know in our hearts that Denver has been an anchor for us in a very real way. And we appreciate all the saints here from the bottom of our hearts. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Very quickly, let's go to Philippians chapter 1. We'll look at this verse. We all know it. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Brother Aaron, when I graduated from Kansas University, I had two jobs, and I was getting ready to take a third job on. Then 48 years ago this month, I got gloriously filled with the Holy Ghost. And I thought, where have I been? That's exactly what I thought. Where have I been? Glory to God. To me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It wouldn't be complete if I gave you my testimony about my heart attack. I've been going to the gym since 1999. In the old days, I could get buff, and I would be buff for 7 days. Remember that, Hagen? Nowadays, I go to the gym, same workout, maybe a day and a half. It's all it lasts. How does this work? I don't know. I'm glad that Jesus got a hold of me, and to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Brother Jesse, I don't know how it works out, but church camp in Michigan and church camp in Denver are always the same week of the year. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
We should add that on you.
Here, I'll do it. And because they're so much smaller, I feel that they need us up there. So in July of 2017, I spoke on Friday night. Good message to the kids. I trusted Billy. Knelt down at the altar. My oldest grandson was on my right. My two younger grandsons were on my left. We're at the altar praising the Lord. And all of a sudden, I get indigestion. I thought, okay. So I got up and went back to the restroom at the back of the church. I'm in there. And all of a sudden, it was like someone with two fingers pressing with thousands of pounds of force. I know I'm exaggerating, but it was just unbelievable. Right here. I didn't feel pain anywhere else, but right here. So going, Lord, wow, this is some indigestion. And real quick, Scott, just it flashed through my mind, maybe I'm having a heart attack. And it's amazing how your brain will deny things quickly. And I just shoved that right out of my mind. No, that can't be happening. And all of a sudden, I heard my grandson at the front of the church at the altar, my oldest grandson. And he's up there getting filled with the Spirit. And I'm back here, oh, Lord, praise you, Lord, praise you. Oh, Lord, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord. I'm going, Lord, how does this work? You're filling my grandson. I should be up there with him. And I'm back here in this agony. But you know something? Penny, he gives us honors throughout life. And I was honored to be at his altar in that heart attack. They rushed me to the hospital. It was rush, 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 rush. Saturday night, it was Friday night. Saturday morning, it was rough.
Sunday morning, I woke up and I felt these bowls of prayer arising. Just so slowly, one after another, and just slowly, inevitably rising for me. And I said, Lord, you don't get in a hurry for anything, do you? That's how I felt. But I felt like I could just get in one of those prayer bowls and just go. It was so peaceful. So peaceful, Linda. Isn't that wonderful? It is so wonderful knowing the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord has brought me back. My spouse stayed with me in that hospital room. Her support was immense. Going to Hebrews, quickly to Hebrews chapter 11, we see these worthies of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. I'm getting so excited I can't even see the page. I'm sorry. Verse 32. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others in that verse. And others in verse 36. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made complete. Going on to the first two verses in Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore? Wherefore? Seeing we also are compassed about. That word means to encircle. We are compassed, we are encircled about with so great a cloud of testimonies, so great a nebula of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Every weight. Did you know that the army now is coming out with new physical standards for their troops? How many people know that here? A few of them? Okay. One of the things they have to be able to do is run 150 to 200 feet carrying two 40-pound kettlebells. Now, for you weightlifters, I know that doesn't sound like much. But for us cute old guys, I have a 35-pound kettlebell. And that puppy is heavy. I can't imagine running like that. The weight. Another of the standards they have to meet, is they have to be able to toss a 10-pound ball above their heads, and it's supposed to go back so far behind them. So they just told the commanders, just start having to throw that ball. Those soldiers would throw that ball up in the air to come right back on their heads. So they had to write regulations on how to throw the ball up into the air. You bring it up such and such a way, such and such a point, you release it and let it go, and it goes back over your head. Only the army could do that. Praise the Lord. I have learned over the years, you don't need that sin. Sometimes he has to deal with us in a harsh manner, but you don't need that sin. And you don't have to be taught by the army how to let it go. You just drop it. Get rid of it. We lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us. And I looked up this phrase, the so easily beset us. One of the thoughts of that is that the competitor in your race is trying to trip you as you're running. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. You young people, it's worth it. It's worth it to come down to your old age with you, and by the grace of God, your yielded spouse. There is nothing like it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the completer of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the highest gloriousness. Hallelujah. Wow. Wow. And when I was a kid, I thought the things of God were boring. How did I ever reach that conclusion? My army son. There are three levels of master sergeant. He's at the second level. If he goes to the third level of master sergeant, he has to stay in an extra 4 years. So he's at the second level, and he wants to retire soon. He doesn't want to go that last 4 years. In November, he was in Greece. Only my son. How is it that the laziest kid in the world grows up to be a master sergeant? Dwayne, tell me that. Explain that to me. Okay, so on November 11th in Athens, he runs the Athens Marathon. You're kidding. One of the hardest marathons in the world. 42 kilometers. From kilometer 10 to kilometer 30, it's uphill. Then it's, fortunately, it's downhill from there. And I ask him, John, how did you do that? He says, Dad, he says, after those initial points of pain, a marathon, less than half a percentage point of the whole population has ever considered running a marathon. After the initial points of pain, he said, the endorphins do kick in, and you pay attention to your cadence, and you think of one thing, crossing that finish line. He and his captain, Christian captain, love each other. They do everything together. His captain has given John favor. That's what the Lord does. John loves the Lord. Now, we run with a purpose in mind. We don't come here slipshod, do we? There's a focus in our running. Praise the Lord. Just a few quick thoughts on Song of Solomon, chapter 2. How many of you love this Song of Solomon? I remember when I was a senior in college, I had my brother's Thompson Chain Reference Bible. I'm thumbing through it. And I find this book in the Bible that I'd never heard of before. And I began reading, and I thought, this is cool stuff. What is this doing in the Bible? That's exactly what I thought. There was an English poet in the 1700s named George Herbert. And George Herbert, for the 1700s, wrote some very modern poetry, but he wrote about the love of God. And one of the things he called the love of God was quick-eyed love. Quick-eyed love. Isn't that cool? Quick-eyed love. There was a hippie girl at KU in my senior year, and she looked like something the cat drug in. I'm not kidding. I wanted to be a hippie, but I couldn't afford the clothes. That was... So, she was blonde. Her hair was a mess. She was just ragged. She was just, you'd see her and you go, you could at least comb your hair once in a while, right? Okay, about 8 or 9 months later, I'm sitting in a restaurant. And over on the other side of the restaurant
there's this couple. And you can clearly tell that they care for each other. Candlelight on the table. I'm watching this scene. And I'm going, I know her. Her hair was perfectly combed. She was dressed up. She had makeup on. And she was so enthralled with this guy. And he was enthralled with her. It was that same girl that finally dawned on me. It was her. What love can do. Hallelujah. Song of Solomon. You know that scripture in Proverbs 25:11? It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. I'm going to borrow a few phrases from Brother Copley. I hope you don't mind. Brother Copley's not some sort of slavish cult leader. You can't be a cult leader and be obedient to Paul's gospel, to the Apostle Paul. So some of this I'm going to quote from Brother Copley. Sorry, Brother Jesse. Let me know later on if you have a problem, okay? Song of Songs, a rarefied atmosphere like no other. This is my writing. Spirit inspires us in a manner and a locale that is above, untouched by human hands. God's picture is in the form of man and woman. We have some teenage girls, Penny, in our church, don't we? They're great kids. They're lovely kids. You mention the Song of Solomon, and those girls sit up in their seats, and their eyes just widen. It's precious. Praise the Lord. God's picture is in the form of a man and a woman, loving, touching, intertwined with one another in a mature love, living out the various pictures of marriage in his scripture, Brother Copley. Dove's eyes sees this precious truth. Just as truly as Solomon loved, chose, and wedded the one whom he termed all fair, and not all the daughters of Jerusalem, so our blessed Lord Jesus will select for his bride a company of saints whom he will know as called, chosen, and faithful. A rib portion from out of the body, Revelation 17. His marriage and fellowship with the Shulamite was apparently hidden, nowhere recorded in his biography of the Kings and Chronicles. We would have never learned of it if the Holy Spirit had not preserved this Song of Solomon for us. Isn't that amazing? Who is she? Song of Solomon 6:10. Who is this person? Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and awesome as an army with banners? Who is she that's spoken of so highly? Who is she that's portrayed as exemplary? His desire, the one who weaves the finest linen. You know, in Proverbs 37, it says she puts her hand to the distaff. That's the spindle at the spinning wheel. So she spins this linen thread, and then she puts it on a loom. And those threads that go up and down, those are the warp threads. And the threads that go in between are the weft or the weaving threads. Sometimes the woof, W-O-O-F, woof threads go across. And she weaves a garment, doesn't she? She looks forward to her wedding day and she weaves a garment. To her! It was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Okay, I've got 15 minutes. Try and get through this. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys, Brother Copley. What a lesson. What a lesson this is, he says. And I love how he puts it. This is what makes Brother Copley so amazing, for lack of a better word. I don't know how else to put it. It is hypocrisy to say more of ourselves than the Lord says. But it is most unworthy of him for us to say less of ourselves than he says, or to accept a lower place than he gives us. He has redeemed us. He saved us. Are we not free then? should we not accept the title and the state? Wow, what words! What fitly spoken words! As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. The beloved added that the maiden was not only beautiful, but that she was one among those who didn't appreciate her beauty. The beloved gave the maiden this precious gift, the gift of feeling preferred. The gift of feeling preferred. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens, in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Could we ever do that in our own righteousness? No, but here's this perfect linen penny. Praise God. Hallelujah. Real quick, five negatives are mentioned in this chapter. The thorns, verse 2, the winter rains, verse 11, the little foxes, verse 15, and the shadows, verse 17, and the mountains of divisions, verse 17. Going on, verse 3, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Two needs are mentioned here. She needs to get out of the shade. She needs to get into the shade from the sun. It was hot. There was shadow. She was faint. There was fruit. Delicious fruit. Come unto me, all ye who are weary. Whoever's not been walking with the Lord here, just submit it to him. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll make the strife cease. Once in a while, I will find a poem or something from a drug addict online. And I found this, not very long. It's not a poem. This is called The Comforting Numbness, talking about being addicted. And his thought is, it's not the high or the drugs. There's something else in the addiction. Its warmth is soothing, though its purpose is poisonous. A gray cloud that floats above, but never will it rain. Oh, man. I wait for the sun to strike through, but my hope fades day after day. Addicted, the numbness becomes the comfort, the comforting high that takes away the pain. Sin takes you to a dead end, doesn't it? In the natural, we want a natural anointing, so to speak. We want to be able to see clearly. We want to be able to hear in stereo. We want to be able to learn in depth. And we want to be able to live in anticipation. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit anoints us and gives us so much more than just a natural anointing. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love, Brother Copley. The name of the Lord is a shelter from the storm. He is a house of wine to the one who takes his shade, fruit, and rest. We become intoxicated in Ephesians 5:18 with his very presence. His banner over us is spangled with grace and peace and kindness. That banner is love. Taking more Taken more poetically, the maiden rejoices that her beloved has publicly and openly proclaimed his love for her, as though he had set up a banner or a flag to say it. Isn't that sweet? His banner over me is love. Now, you ladies who quilt, I want you to make me a quilt which says, his banner over me is love. And I want it done within 2 months and delivered to the house. Okay. Praise. I hear about you ladies that quilt here from Carol. Okay, there's more than just Carol, I understand. All right. Verse 5, stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am lovesick. You know, I've always been able, they talk about the latest, you know, computers, Aaron, and electronics and cars and things that come out, the latest of them. And they got certain number of people in this society can afford the cutting edge stuff. I wish I could afford the cutting edge stuff. However, at my church, I paid $1.59 at Walmart for an arrow. And my arrow is marked, it's called the arrow of truth. The very top, the tip of this arrow, number 7, pressing forward, energetic, taking everything, pressing forward toward the mark of the prize. Philippians 3, pressing forward. And that last one is the Song of Solomon. You rest. And that is next to the tip of that arrow, the arrow of truth. All of these things happened to me over my life when I was in high school, when I was in college, to direct me to this romance. Amazing. Amazing how God works. There is a brain hormone. Sister Vicki, I'm going to give you a lesson. There is a brain hormone that mediates the feeling of being in love or being infatuated. Now, I know none of you have ever been infatuated. One of these neurotransmitters is known as phenethylamine. Phenethylamine. Think of that word every night before I go to bed. And this neurotransmitter floods our brain when we fall in love. Thank you. I owe you one, okay? But it doesn't look like that spelling like you're pronouncing it, okay? So I was trying to be correct, all right? Okay. This chemical gives us feelings of exhilaration and thrill and well-being. In high amounts, it leads to a loss of appetite. This chemical works in a cycle, at least in a relationship. At the beginning of the relationship, it spikes upward. And after about 4 or 5 years, it begins to decline. I never saw one last this long, but in the brain, there are completely different pathways with completely different chemical mediators. These begin to form at about the 4-year point in a relationship, and they contribute to different feelings instead of feelings of thrill. And this is what is so sweet. This is what is so sweet about marriage. Okay? When you get married, you sign up for something that you don't really understand when you're 19, 20, 21. You sign up for this thing, and you just think all the problems that all other married people have are not going to apply to you and your spouse. You just somehow, that's... I want to say this. If in your marriage you will just submit to the Lord, and you do not always have to be right. You learn this, especially when you're married to a woman like... I mean... Brother Clark told me never to make a joke about Jan from the pulpit. I forgot. Okay, I'm sorry. She's going on. But you've got to realize you have to let go of a lot of things in order to retain the relationship. And if you'll both do this, you'll come to that point of time when there's that uneasy standoff, but it works. And over time, there's feelings of deep contentment and gratitude. Wait for that. One of the chemicals that mediates these feelings is oxytocin, which is that the right pronouncing? Thank you, man. Which is the same chemical related to the bonding of a mother together with her infant. Mary, did you know that your baby boy, praise the Lord, has been said, Brother Copley said, the only antidote for lovesickness is more love. Praise the Lord. His left hand is under my head, and I've got to move along. His right hand doth embrace me, the cherishing and the sustaining. He stills the throbbing heart. He lavishly fills the bosom with his love, Brother Copley says, covers us with the most affectionate caresses. It's God's mysterious appointment that lover and love should be lost in each other's devotion, fervently cherishing in each other a mutual sustaining. And I'm going to have to move on and skip some notes. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up nor awake my love until he please. We've heard this scripture quoted several times here. Be still and know that I am God. Jan and I bought 10 acres of ground in 1995 out in the country. And we were getting ready to put a house out in the country, and I was trying to make preparations and everything. And all of a sudden, Jan says, I don't want to live in the country. I says, okay, but I'm not giving up my land. I'm keeping my land. Shortly after we bought our land, we were walking through the trees, through the trail. Here comes a baby deer about that tall. Just coming up real slow. And he gets about this close to Jan. And we're both perfectly still. And Jan's starting to reach out her hand to this baby deer. And all of a sudden, Mama Deer makes her presence known, and boom, they're both gone. The point of that story is, wait on the Lord. He's got all the time in the world, and so do you, even though you don't think you do. Just wait on the Lord. It'll come. It'll come, and he'll give you those feelings of gratitude. Praise the Lord. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills, Brother Copley. How expressive are these words concerning our heavenly bridegroom. His voice is heard in the distance. His real activities are beheld in the heavenlies, or the holy heights. His activities are youthful and bounding. This is manifest in the renewal of the youth of those who drink in his resurrection life into their very bodies. That spiritual liquid, sister, into our very bones. Isn't that glorious? Hallelujah. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He looks through, he looks out the windows, showing himself through the lattice. Janice and I, years ago, went to the Lauritzen Gardens in Omaha. Brand new gardens, botanical gardens. They're beautiful, and they have these arbors, and they have this metal and this wood lath. The lattice work. First time I was in the maximum security. Where, Kevin, where are you at? Where's Kevin? Is he in? Of course. The first time I was in the maximum security state prison in Lansing, just south of Leavenworth. Hey, buddy, there you are. I was sitting in the pew, and all around me are these maximum security prisoners. And these guys have been through the roughest things you can possibly imagine. And I'm surrounded by these guys, and they're singing the hymns, and they're praising the Lord. And the delineation between flesh and spirit was so real, it was just so clear cut, that I lifted my hand and it was as if I could just touch the Lord through the lattice work. So sweet. Gives you a heart attack at his altar through the lattice work. God does those things, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Every year in January when I was a kid, Mark, They would show, you're maybe too young for this, they would show the Wizard of Oz. Anybody see that movie? Remember, she sang that song, "Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. There's a land that I've heard of, once in a lullaby." I'm not going to sing the whole thing, but at the end she says, "Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly." Birds fly over the rainbow. Why then? Why can't I? I remember when I was a junior in high school thinking about that song. And I began to lose hope. I had left church. Church for me, it was so liberal, there wasn't anything there for me. I'd left church, and I thought to my, I remember I was down at a friend of mine's house. I thought, there's no such place as above the rainbow. There's just no such place. I was just losing heart. Night I got filled with the Spirit. It all came flooding back, the hope of being beyond the rainbow, like in Revelation 4. Glory to God. He that sat upon the throne, the jasper and sardine stone, round about the throne, there was a rainbow. Isn't it amazing? We can do nothing against the truth. They wrote that song. I don't know why they wrote that song. Billy, we can do nothing against the truth, can we? But we can only further the truth. We're going to a place that's beyond the emerald. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, praise the Lord. And I've already been speaking 38 minutes. Verse 14, we're going to skip to, there was one other thing. I'll just read verse 12. And 13, the flowers appear on the earth. What a wonderful time this will be. The time of singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Turtle dove saints have dove's eyes. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Praise the Lord. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant, Isaiah 5, 7. Verse 14, O my dove, in the seclusion of the clefts of the solid rock, in the Amplified Bible, in your secret and sheltered place of the cliff, let me see your voice, let me see your face, and let me hear your voice. Your voice is sweet, and your face is lovely. Brother Copley, how he puts it, how he looks for the upturned face and the open mouth toward him. How he writes. When bidden, we respond. We respond joyously. Led by the Spirit, the bride is thrilled. There's a difference between a singing bird and a cooing bird. Hallelujah. She is thrilled by her lover. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. The enemies of Israel are likened to wild beasts, Brother Copley says, that destroy the vineyards. You see Psalm 88 through 15. Foolish prophets who follow their own spirits and have seen nothing compared to foxes in the deserts. Ezekiel 13, 4. We see religion out there in the world. Did you know that 16.3% of the United States population is a religion of nuns? We're not talking about Catholic nuns. They have none religion. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Nada. They don't care. They don't recognize what's coming. They're content to live their lives, their natural lives. I am, my beloved is mine and I am his. We're going to finish this up. He feedeth among the lilies. The maiden concludes this section confident in the bond that joins her and her beloved. He belongs to her. She belongs to him. In this sense, they are one, joined with a mutual bond of affection. And I'm going to repeat this twice. Just listen to the words. And not one partner clinging to another more reluctant partner. Isn't that amazing how he puts that? Not one partner clinging to another more reluctant partner. Wow. I am his by the gift of his Father. I am his by purchase, paid for by his own life. I am his by conquest. He fought for me and he won. I am his by surrender because I have a part in this too. What grace. I am his by surrender because I give my volition, I will, I give myself to him. Till the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of division. Everywhere we look, there are mountains of divisions, aren't there? But this is all going to pass away one day. Even so, God bless your hearts. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening. We love each and every one of you. Bless your hearts. Amen.